I'd just like to
go over a little bit more about karma. There are two kinds of karma, the sahajata and the nanakarmika. So we know that the chetana that arises with every citta is sahajata karma, and the nanakarmika refers only to the chetana arising with the jhavana cittas. The first question is it correct to say that every chetana arising with the jhavana cittas is nanakarmika karma?
When we talk about nanakarmika karma paccaya, there must be paccayupanna. Just don't talk about paccaya without paccayupanna.
Okay. Because at the moment when, for example, even if it is kamapata, there is no result at that moment, but can we not still refer to it as nanakarmika?
When there are results.
So we can only refer to it when there are results.
Otherwise it's only accumulation.
Okay, so then it's just the accumulation. So in that case, if there is no result yet, does that mean it's only sahajata karma, not nanakarmika karma yet, because there's no result?
And when it's pakatupanisya paccaya, it condition any moment too.
Yes.
Like the previous akusala citta is pakatupanisya paccaya for the next or other moment of akusala.
So we could say that
by pakatupanisya,
yes.
Not by karma paccaya.
Not by karma paccaya, no. But if we're not talking about karma paccaya, but can we refer to, for example, we were talking about karma through body, speech and mind, and we were saying that any jhavana citta that is not karma through body or speech actually is nano karma, even in sense door processes. So is this not nanakarmika karma even though there's no result? If it is
nanakarmika or karma, we talk about paccaya,
yes,
for the results.
Yes. But
if the result does not arise yet, should we talk about the paccaya because it's there in citta to,
yes,
condition any moment of result?
So when we talk about karma through the mind, mano karma that doesn't bring any result, why can we refer to the jhavana cittas in the sense door processes as mano karma because it's not going to bring result?
Let's talk about the mano karma. Killing is kaya karma or mano karma?
Either. Depends.
So would it bring result?
It may bring result.
No matter it's kaya karma or mano karma.
Yes. Let's talk about different processes. If we talk about the idle processes, as we know, there are several vipaka cittas, and then there are the jhavana cittas, and
conditioned by,
accumulated, mm-hmm, accumulated by paccayupanna paccaya.
Mm-hmm. And would the karma is also paccayupanna paccaya?
Yes.
So can it condition a kusla or kusla moment, jhavana, through,
yes,
the sense door?
Yes. Okay.
That's the result.
So this is so we can still refer to it as mano karma in the sense door process, mm-hmm, because it is accumulated by paccayupanna paccaya, even though it's not karma condition. So that is mano karma. So in the idle process, the jhavana cittas must always be mano karma, and then for the other hearing,
other sense
stores the same. So for the body consciousness process through the body door, it would be just the same. The jhavana cittas would have to be mano karma,
mm-hmm,
accumulated by paccayupanna,
mm-hmm,
and it's not going to be any karma, but still we call it mano-karma in the body door process.
So why do we call it karma then?
Because it's not the action or speech conditioned by akusala citta through that speech or this to be kammapaccaya, to condition vipaka.
It can't condition vipaka.
At moment of seeing, after seeing there is Javana Kusala Akusala, is it not Kamma Pachaya too? Because Jetana there arises.
But why doesn't it condition Vipaka?
It's not any Kamma, and it's not killing or speech at all.
It's not a Kusala Kamapatha.
Right.
Not enough.
But we cannot say that it's not Kamma. So what kind of it? When it's not kaya and vichi, then it's manokamma.
But manokamma can be the
akusala kammapatha.
Also, right?
Right. When it's akusala kammapatha, it performs killing or stealing, depending
on
jetana.
But wrong view.
Condition wrong deeds and wrong speech too.
But even wrong view that doesn't condition wrong speech or wrong deeds directly can be akusala kammapatha, right? Like if you think there's no rebirth or something.
Yeah. It should be like other kind of akusala citta through the ways when it's not conditioned deeds and speech. Because everyone has michatiti, sakayatiti. Yeah. So what?
But there's degrees of michatiti that are very
Degrees means action and deeds of speech?
Not necessarily. I think if someone... Say, if someone believes that the Buddha was not enlightened or something, that's akusala kammapatha by itself, even though they don't do anything about it, maybe.
He does know who was Buddha.
No, he just thinks the Buddha is inferior to Muhammad or something. Yeah.
The word Buddha.
Okay, well, say a scientist writes a book saying that there's no rebirth, there's just... evolution or something, right? That's akusala kammapatha.
I don't think so, because it's not through body and speech to kill or to do ill deeds.
Well, it's hurting the others. It's promoting wrong
views. It's one's own wrong understanding.
Okay, but the Buddha said that for the one with wrong view, that will itself lead to hell, right?
No deeds, no speech, or with deeds and speech.
Even without deeds and speech, if one has... Michaditi is the strongest akusala.
What about sakayatiti is also michaditi?
No, but that's there's degrees of wrong view. I'm talking about extreme... What do they call it?
What about the person who still has sakayatiti and did wrong deeds and speech?
Well, that's bad too.
And for that person who has sakayatiti but didn't do anything wrong, speech and deed?
Well, sakayatiti alone...
Or other titi. Like Islam or Muslim.
or scientists who believes there's no results of deeds at all. People like that are really, they're on the
border. It's only thinking.
But they're on the border of hell, as I understand it. Not when they die.
Just having the idea, though.
It's like monks who think and think a lot unwholesomely. Does it bring him to hell?
Maybe.
No.
Wouldn't you also have to think of the intention of the person? For instance, the scientist, he doesn't know anything about Dhamma. So he's, according to his research, he says, okay, there's no rebirth and da-da-da-da-da. And he's not intentionally saying wrong view.
He
thinks it's right view.
That's what wrong view is.
That's true, but he's not...
Wrong view always thinks it's right.
Wrong view always thinks they're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you heard the saying, the road to hell is paved by good intentions?
Right.
I think we need to distinguish between having an idea, coming to a conclusion, and holding a view.
Yes. What's the difference? I would have thought they were the same.
Well, you can have a belief, but it mightn't be to the degree that you would act upon it. It's just an intellectually held view, but not what you would call a belief that would govern actions.
Yeah, it sounds as if I used to have the same position as you, but from what I gather, right now it seems that wrong view is wrong in the sense of bringing results if it leads to other kamapathas.
Yeah.
Is that it?
That's right.
Oh. Okay, let me give a case. Someone believes or thinking only that there's, when you die, that's the end. There's no future life. They hear about a war and they think, oh, this is a just war. We should send, and they hear the army is going to fight the war and there's a lot of killing and they approve of that killing because they think, well, it's best for the world. But that approval of the war and approval of the killing is also linked to their belief that there's no future results. Now, we know that akusala kamapatha is killing, but it's also when you approve of killing, right? So the wrong view and that approval are closely linked, I would say.
I think so. They're linked, but then it would be akusala kamapatha only when the ordering based on such a belief or actually going out to
or
killing.
Or the intention to encourage the
right,
other to kill.
Right. But on the other hand, what I just gathered about karma, from what Patan just said about manokarma, we can talk about results now, it seems, not just in the sense of resulting in vipaka, but also accumulation, right? That is also result, in a way.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah. So it's accumulation, accumulating...
Accumulated wrong view.
Right. Right. So it's accumulating at that part, it's also result, but not kamapatha. But that can, at some point, cause deeds.
Okay.
Right.
Well, that's very well put, Mr. Kendall. That's excellent. Is that right, Adam? Basically, yeah, I see.
It's like killing is akusala, but akusala is not killing.
It's one thing having the wrong view.
Skinner has put it very succinctly and very well. Yeah.
It's one thing having the wrong view that killing is good. It's another thing to actually kill.
To approve of someone killing directly, you mean?
And I think that this is not the point because we cannot really know exactly each moment.
But don't you think it's confusing in the text sometimes when they talk about karma always giving result?
Because one thinks more than one can understand.
And I don't think mere approval is karma pata. I think it has to be. Well, that's also. But there's also. I think what.
Well, the words, the translation, English translation does say he approves. So I don't know what the Pali is.
But, right. I think it would have to be like almost rejoicing that you're adopting the act of the person.
Yeah. You feel really at one with them also.
Yeah.
Almost, yeah, I see, yeah. John. I hope so too. I hope so.
Well, I might be.
You had a phrase the other day with regard to when people, or we study all the details or study all the Pali but without really understanding the essence, and you said they don't study Dharma because it's studying to get something for oneself, so no matter how much one reads in whatever language, it's not the study of Dharma. It's for oneself.
When we talk about karma, we don't forget about supporting karma too. It's not the action of karma. Rejoice is supporting karma, upatambaka karma, because it can support that kind that deeds by being rejoiced. But it's not actually the moment of killing with rejoice or feeling good at moment of killing. See, but seeing the other person kill,
and one feels so happy about
it's only supporting.
But it still leads to help, that sort of rejoicing?
No, because there are four kinds of karma, right? Chalaka karma.
Yes.
That which will condition the rebirth consciousness. And upatambaka karma, that which will support other karma too. So at that moment it's karma, but it's not that which can produce result as rebirth consciousness, but it's just the supporting.
Can support other karma already performed.
Yeah.
So like, you might still be born as a human, but you'll be sickly or something, that type, because you rejoiced in someone.
We cannot tell about the karma and vipaka, lots of them. We cannot pinpoint anything. But we know that karma can produce result, tanaka karma, and the one which cannot produce result still can support.
So the conditions for whether the karma will bring its result will depend on factors such as the supporting karma.
What about someone really is convinced that there's no such thing as karma and rebirth, it's all just, you know, life is just some mysterious accident. Surely, if they hold that belief very strongly, and that right till they die, that's going to lead them to hell, isn't it? Just
what,
that belief
alone.
What
about alone. Other kind of karma that person has accumulated?
But this
can
is more serious, isn't it?
It does matter because we cannot tell which one will condition the rebirth consciousness.
But I thought that one was such a deadly one. That
how many karmas we have had in Sankaravata.
But don't the texts indicate the very serious ones?
Even that one. What about this other serious kusala? Oh, we might use the term serious.
Well, okay.
Christians think that they only live once on earth.
But they have some sort of belief in result and future life. It's not so serious as someone who really thinks it's just accident, right?
Right. It's different.
I think it's a little
but
bit
they
better.
Think that if they do good here, they go to heaven.
Yeah, well, that's a little bit
if
better.
If they do bad, they go to hell.
To my thinking, that would be better than someone who thinks it's all just accident and chance, because then you really think it doesn't matter what you do in life in the long run at all.
Well, if you really thought that,
then
you would act upon it.
Well, people do.
Yes,
that's
but that's what we're saying.
That's
if it's strong enough to condition.
Okay,
but if it's not held to that degree.
But I think throughout the world it is hell. Like, look at every government now that, say, allows abortion, and you know the government pays for it. Like New Zealand, America, England, China, Russia, and so on. So these sort of millions of deaths every year through that, just
that's
alone.
Not necessarily based on.
I think it is based on wrong view. Isn't it?
But I think you have to look at the individuals.
It's certainly killing.
Yeah,
supported, to me, must be supported to some extent by wrong view. That's just one example. I'm just trying to give an example. There must be other things too.
Well,
like
perhaps another example is when you have a suicide bomber. He's been trained in one of these madrasas to be a suicide bomber.
That's not a common belief.
Yeah.
Among Muslims it is. It's very common among Muslims. And he believes that if he gives his life up, he's going to go to their Muslim paradise. And so he's perfectly willing to be this suicide bomber.
He gets 60 virgins.
And he gets whatever, the number keeps increasing
all
the time.
That's a good example, Betty, but it's not widely held among the population who hold wrong views. But I would say
abortion is.
Yeah, that's widely held and supported. You know, even the governments finance it. So, and that's an indication to me of because of widely held wrong view that this is such a popular procedure now.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, Ivan agrees with me so much.
Do you think all those who have wrong view will go to hell? All of them?
No.
See?
No. Obviously, like you said,
so
some good karma can rise to the surface. I accept it. I'm just.
But not all. Yeah, but the point is, it's not just that some good karma can rise to the surface, but because not the wrong view isn't
so held.
Yeah.
Can you explain more?
Well, because the wrong view, just having the wrong view on itself without performing any deeds through body or speech, is not going to be karmapata that will. Results in rebirth in hell on its own.
Like maybe I can put it this way then. So most people might have a lot of wrong view and they don't think there's future lives, but they don't really think about it too much. It's just somewhere well in the background of their lives, right?
Well, Exactly. Or if they do act on it, those moments of acting on it, like the moments of squatting the mosquitoes, okay, that is a kusala kamapata. Mm-hmm. They have the idea that mosquitoes are bad and should be harmed, so then they squat the mosquitoes.
And of course we've accumulated tendencies for both kusala and akusala. And, you know, someone with wrong view may have the accumulations when faced with people to be kind, to, you know, you get anything can happen.
But the scriptures do say, don't they? I'm trying to figure out, I'm trying to relate it to the scriptures. Why do they say wrong view is so serious and he who holds, you know, if he holds wrong view upon death, he goes to hell. Why do they say that? You know? I mean, I'm just trying to understand.
I'm not familiar with that, holding wrong view on death goes to hell.
Oh, did you know what I mean, Ajahn, about that?
No, did nothing about karma at all.
Okay, look, that actor's thing. The Buddhist, you know, that actor that...
Yeah.
When the Buddha said, the actor, he incites other people towards lopa and dosa moha.
Right.
Or he has wrong view. He thinks that that's a good thing. Okay. And there's two destinations for one with wrong view.
Yes.
The one with wrong view goes to hell or he's born in the womb of an animal. That's what the sutta says, right?
Well, what about Bill Gates, who gives a lot of money out to... He gives a lot of money to people.
Yeah.
And he has wrong view.
Mm. So he's got a balance, half and half.
Right. So is he? Is
we
he
don't really know. It's toss of the coin.
Will he go to hell? Or
toss of the coin.
Will he, because he's so generous with his money, go somewhere else?
But it's not, you know, whether it's in the case of Bill Gates or the actor or in any other situation, it's not just the holding of the wrong view, but it's the acting on it that's going to. So the wrong view
well,
is.
I don't see that in the sutta. I don't see that
no,
in the sutta so directly.
In the sutta, when you talk about wrong view, it is in opposition to right view, because we can see that right view supports all forms of kusala. So it is, I think, wrong view supports akusala. But whether that happens in any given lifetime is another question.
Well, if you give me a quote to say that, I'd be interested.
What about akusala moment, which kills,
yes,
and akusala moment, which does not kill? Can we just say akusala will lead one to heaven, living, killing, and things out?
May I? This is, I found this about wrong view here. It's all wrong view of the Eightfold Path, i.e. wrong view, Mishaditi. Wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong bodily action, wrong livelihood, wrong effort, wrong mindfulness, wrong concentration. Just as the Eightfold Path, right path, Samamaga, so also here the eight links are included in the group of mental formations, Sankara Khanda. So basically, what is Mijaditi is part of all is the like the negative.
About
without killing,
in the same book,
and kusala with killing, they're different. So we cannot just say a kusala will bring to hell only, or wrong will bring to hell. It depends on this and space too.
And in the Yakta Sutta, it's because of he is doing that, not because he holds the wrong view. He is based on the wrong view. He is, or with wrong view.
Well, it doesn't
say
that directly. I don't think it says it directly. It says he who has a wrong view.
Yes. No, he incites others to.
But
Who doesn't have? But it depends on this and speech.
But the wrong view in this case is specific about. Extreme wrong view.
I think this is what Robert's referring to here under Kamapata. We talk about, we read about 10 kinds of Kamapata, 3 through the body, killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, 4 through speech, lying, slandering, rude speech, foolish babble, and through 3 through the mind, covetousness, ill will, evil views. Unwholesome mental courses of action comprise only extreme forms of defiled thought, the greedy wish to appropriate others' property, the hateful thought of harming others and pernicious views. So
pernicious
I think,
views, right.
So I think this
because
is...
Because of the
Kamapatha. This is what about a righteousness this would give me? If you don't, will you go to hell?
Yeah, covetousness is also not a kusala kamapatha, unless you, it leads to stealing of, right?
I see what you mean, Ajahn. But I'm still trying to think of the extreme wrong views. Like, that's why I gave the example of, you know, it seems to be an extreme wrong view as a achintaya
yeah.
karma.
When it's extreme, it will condition this and speech.
Yes, it must. Otherwise, it wouldn't be truly
so
held.
So, here in the classification, when it under the 10 kinds of kamapata, when it refers to pernicious views as separate from body and speech, it's the same, so it's referring
like
to...
Like we have this, will you give me? Yeah. If you don't, you go to hell.
There's one example the Buddha gives about the Jain monks. Or what are they? What are those type of...
Nanganthas.
And he says he's looked back through all his past lives, and he was once, and to see, and all of those monks... always throughout history always are born, when they die they always go to hell or something, or because, and he was once such a one, but he didn't go to hell because he held the belief in karma and rebirth. It seems like I mean, just when I read it seems to me that
yeah, but without this and speech, how do you know that that person has so strong wrong view? No deeds, no speech.
Well, what deeds do they do, those monks do that are
so good? Teach the wrong thing.
Teach the wrong thing. Okay, take a scientist who's writing a book saying everything's just happening by chance and evolution and there's no karma, you're just, we come from monkeys, etc., etc. Isn't that teaching people to have wrong view?
Do you have intention to harm the others too?
No, you think it's right, but you're teaching, nevertheless, you're
thinking. But if you have the intention to harm,
well,
those who do not believe.
Well also, he's setting up certain evidence and drawing certain conclusions and putting up a theory. So, again, it's not quite the same as someone who really, truly holds a view that they are espousing.
Mm. And Muslims, see? They harm those
yes,
who do not believe.
That's a bit obvious. Obviously, yeah, they because yeah. of that, Osama bin Laden blows up buildings. That's
but,
obviously.
But other Muslims, they're very kind.
Yes, that's true. There must be a obviously, there's a big difference between the two there. I see
so
your point.
So without deeds and speech, we know.
Yeah, I see. I see your point, that it must be more
even
serious.
People who are devout Christians.
There's a quote here. It says, unwholesome mental courses of action comprise only extreme forms of defiled thought. The greedy wish to appropriate others' property, the hateful thought of harming others, and pernicious views. Milder forms of mental defilement are also unwholesome, but do not constitute courses of action. So then they're not, if they're not a course of action, then they're not kamapatha. And they're not, you know, they're not having fruit as far as wrong view is concerned.
So now, why this distinction then? Some kamapatha and some not kamapatha. Manokama. Now, how are we to see that difference? How are we to understand that difference?
Without deeds and speech, who knows who has such manokama? That's wrong.
But even weak manokama can sometimes lead to...
It's not weak. It's enough to kill or to steal.
For example, killing a mosquito. There's no ill will.
Okay. Two persons, Muslim and Thai, kills mosquito. Who will go to hell? Only Muslim?
No. I'm not talking about wrong view now. I'm talking about, say, ill will, which is spoken of as akusala kamapatha.
No matter who.
But would it always be because of ill will that we kill?
Cannot be killing without ill.
Well,
no, just a slight dose.
No,
it's not meta, but
it depends on the intention.
But we were talking about different degrees of dosa.
No,
but it depends on the intention.
It's going to be dosa when there's killing.
Right, yes. Of course it's dosa. But it depends on the intention. For instance, suppose you kill, whether you, if you kill someone by accident, it's a different story.
Actually,
suppose I have a car accident.
Sure, that's a different story.
That's what I mean. That's so that's why you have to make the distinction.
No, we're talking about dosa. So what constitutes ill will? What constitutes is the condition for killing will always be ill will. It can be, it can't be a dosa of a lesser degree than ill will.
Well, different degrees of dosa.
So therefore different degrees of ill will, but yeah. Always ill will.
Ill will is a kind of dosa.
Right. No, the thing is that it differentiated, you know, some akusala karma as being kamapatha, some not.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm wondering about those that they are not.
So your question is, no matter what insect or animal you kill, is it always
ill will? Is it always ill will? Is it always dosa to the degree of ill will? Yeah,
always.
If
always.
The factors are completed, like the other insect, the intention to kill, so on. So it depends.
No, the intention itself to kill.
You get a dosa of a mosquito, but you don't kill it because there's certain restrictions on your behavior due to your understanding.
Right, but if you have the intention to kill it, then the three other factors...
And you kill
that
it.
Comes
it in. Must be that degree.
Right, but if you have the intention, just the intention to kill,
oh.
That's always ill will, not just any small, lesser degree of dosa.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay.
Just coming back to just pursuing my original question a little bit more step by step. So in any of the five sense door processes, the jhavana cittas are always manokarma accumulated by upamasya paccaya, but not kamapata. When we come to the mind door, any of the jhavana cittas can be either manokarma, vachikarma, or kaya karma. So if it is kaya karma, if the jhavana cittas are kaya karma, that means that the chetana is, and the chetana and the citta are conditioning rupas, and there is action through, there are kaya vinyati, and there are things being formed. Well, if there is the intention to, not always kaya vinyati, as we discussed the other day, but...
I mean, if there's kaya karma.
If there's kaya karma, then it's only, there would only be kaya vinyati if, well... I would say if it is kaya karma, there would be kaya vinyati, because there is the intention to perform a bodily movement. There's intention to swat the mosquito or something like this, so there must be kaya vinyati and other rupas conditioned by the chetana.
And kaya vinyati.
It wouldn't be intentional, right? It wouldn't be intentional killing. It would be an accident or something.
Yeah.
And the
unless
same
you order someone else.
That's vachya karma.
But
then
it's vachya vinyata, but it's not karma.
Okay.
If it is vachi karma in those mind or jhavana cittas, then there would have to be vachi vinyati. There would have to be the various rupas which make up speech, conditioned by the intention, and it would depend on many factors, whether it was kamapata. And if it's not, if those jhavana cittas are not kaya karma or vachi karma, then no matter what the degree is, whether it's a little bit of kusala or a little bit of akusala, or it is kusala kamapata or akusala kamapati, the other jhavana cittas are all referred to as nano karma. Is this correct?
Otherwise, what dharma is it?
Yes. So, in other words,
we talk about deeds through body, speech, and mind. So actually, this is all in the mind or processes when it is Kammapata in this way.
Can Kaya Kama be through body, not through mind, not the three Manokama? It can be pure Kaya Kama. For killing,
yes.
Is it Kaya Kama or Manokama?
Can it can be either.
Not both, either.
Either, depending. Yeah. So mm-hmm. Either depending, and it has to be
one action, one deed.
Yeah.
How can it be Manokama alone?
Like,
you kill?
You have intention, plan for years.
And that's Manokama at that time, not planning.
Not just kill.
Not just the moment of killing, yeah. Before that too.
Bandit or robber or anything.
When you're planning, that's
Manokama.
Manokama.
It's not just happen.
No. Oh, I see.
But all through the mind or...
What through the mind?
Sorry?
What through the mind?
The Manokama Pata, the Kaya Kama Pata, or the Vajrakama Pata all have to be in the mind or processes.
What kind of Kama?
Mano, Kaya, or Vachi. Thank you. I think that's more or less clear.
A minute ago you said, you mentioned the case of planning for years to...
Or days.
Or days.
Or one day,
right,
1 hour.
Right. And that is Manokama. And
the intention to kill.
Yes.
Not just happen or accidentally.
Right. And then you go ahead and execute the intention and the killing takes place. So are you saying that the killing is also Manokama in that
situation? Certainly,
yes.
Because it's not that has been, just happened.
Right.
Instantly or...
Yeah.
Accidentally.
Not both, though. You said it.
No.
Either.
But if the killing is
one
only Manokama, what about the Kaya? Isn't there Kaya Kama, too, at the moment of putting the knife in?
No.
When you're putting the knife in?
No matter what time. The question is, what is stronger?
Mm.
If there are no question like this, we cannot say whether it's Kaya Kama or Manokama. When you plan to kill and you just accidentally or happen to kill without
planning.
No, I'm
talking about your...
Which one is stronger?
Well, when you plan.
That's why the question is whether Kaya Kama is stronger than Manokama or Manokama is stronger than Kaya Kama.
So in that case, even if there is a lot of planning for years and then there is the quick act of killing, obviously any kind of karma...
It does not a quick usher.
No. But if the planning is stronger, so
yes.
Then we would call it Kammapata through the mind.
If you change your mind, it's all right. No matter how much you
plan. How can it be all right?
Because you change your mind, you then kill after you have planned.
But it's in the past, you've made this karma, right?
But
once
the karma
it,
has
you
been
can't
done
karma.
Yet, hasn't been done
it's
yet.
Not
no killing.
But,
but
in that book, it just said strong ill will is itself a
when
piece of the karma part.
Done. When killing
it's completed.
Is. Yeah.
At the moment, you're planning, okay? There's
yes.
Manokama.
Kusala,
akusala,
akusala, akusala. But at moment of not killing, it's kusala.
Yes. I see that as kusala. You change your mind, it's very kusala.
Yeah.
But that stuff that's done in the past...
You cannot erase all the akusala that have accumulated.
Mm.
It's still akusala.
Can't that bring result, that akusala that was done?
Pakatupanisya patiya, but not killing.
But I'm not still clear about that. Why, in such a case of planning, intense planning...
Have you heard Dhamma, then you don't kill.
Yes, you make new good karma, but not that old karma. How can that old karma disappear?
So this would be another example of the supporting karma.
I'm talking about something else. About, you just said that if there's planning and very strong intention and there's killing, there's no Kaya Kama involved.
No involved one deed, one Kama, Manokama or Kaya Kama, whether which one is worse or stronger. If
right.
You say it's Kaya Kama, it's not as worse as Manokama.
Right. So we can say that in such a case, the manokarma is stronger than the kaya karma. But doesn't mean that the kaya karma is not
there.
And
the killing is through body. That's why we use through kaya devara, but it's manokarma. So manokarma, which kill, can be manokarma through
body.
Kaya devara.
There's kaya vinati, but not kaya karma.
Well, that's complicated.
Yes, this is also complicated because we say, okay, it's mano karma, even though it's there is through it
body.
Is through body kaya dwara, but actually when we say through kaya dwara, it's actually the cheetahs that kill are actually in the mind or process,
when
not
it
the
happens to kill. It's kaya karma through kaya dwara,
yes,
because it's not mano karma through kaya dwara.
But this gaya-dwara is still at those moments of killing. It is still the mind door, jhāvana chitta. So even though it's through the body door, gaya-dwara,
because you see that can be killed not through body but through speech,
yes,
too.
Yes.
See, so it's gaya karma through speech through vachi-dwara. Or kaya karma through kaya devara, or mano karma through kaya devara, or mano karma through vachi devara.
Wow, that's so complicated, isn't it?
You did say the Dhamma was deep.
Yeah.
I think that people get confused about this too, because we think of, when we hear kaya devara, we think of the body door,
yes,
the body consciousness and the sense doorway, the body consciousness and those cheetahs. But actually, this has nothing at all to, because it's not touching hardness or softness. It's, the object is the killing.
Otherwise, there must be kaya karma, vachi karma, no mano karma. Mm.
Yeah. Well, mano karma is wrong view.
Three of them, just one.
Yeah, I see. No, it makes sense. It makes sense. I just didn't know that though, until now.
And most of the time, for example, like if an animal kills another animal or something, then this would usually be gaya.
Gaya
karma.
Gaya devara.
Through gaya.
Yeah.
Ah.
But if that animal does not like that animal at all,
and prays and follows
it, tries so hard to kill, yeah, that is mano karma too.
But usually we can't tell.
Should write this up, Sarah.
What about the case of ordering the killing of another person?
Vachi karma.
Through vachi devara. Kaya karma, killing through vachi devara. Or vachi devara through body, writing, instead of speaking.
And even all of that can be mano karma,
yeah,
because it can still be the planning. So in that case, can one say it's mano karma conditioning gaya karma through vachi dwara, something like that? So actually, for that killing to take place, we're talking about many, many processes of jhāvana cheetahs, like now. We're not just talking about one process
or one cheetah.
And yet, so we're talking about many, many processes involved. And yet, usually when we talk about karma is chetana and karma pata actually refers to then one or many, many?
Each one. Chetana.
Each one. But then we say that, for example, birth and the rupas, which are conditioned by the karma which brings birth as a result, are the result of one karma, but it had to have accumulated from many, many. Is this correct?
That's why all of us were born with the mahavipaka, but we are different.
Yes.
The body and the accumulation.
So let's pursue this a little bit then. So many, many chetanas, many, many karmas were accumulated
and
support
one particular
karma.
One particular karma.
To condition.
One chetana or one
chetana
series.
I'm asking. I assume. I mean, in those hundreds of processes, of, say that the vipaka, this patisandhi chika is going to be born as an animal, and it's
so
because
you come to counting again.
No, I'm just trying to explain. Yeah. If there was
counting
in the killing, there must have been many processes of javana, akusala javana, but only one of those. Although there's many processes to do the killing, only one of those javana cheetahs finally gives a result as a
process. One process is very hard to know.
Well,
but it's one did that.
I'm harder. Just talking in theory. Yeah.
I don't think like that.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean that I'm not interested in that.
Okay.
I think that what we can say is that the rebirth and the other rupas during that life are the result of one karma, and but we know that for any one karma to bring its result, it has to have been supported by many, 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 many other moments of karma.
Mm-hmm.
And as to which karma brings its result, well, that obviously depends on all these supporting conditions and many other factors. I think that's about all.
Is that right? Yeah, it sounds reasonable.
How many processes now?
Well, just while we're thinking about how many processes,
can
a million.
Can commit any karma, right?
Right, millions.
Okay. So when we talk about one karma, we'll bring one rebirth consciousness.
Yes.
What about the other karma?
They support it.
Right.
Yeah, like Sarah was just saying, yeah, that all makes a lot of sense, actually.
And
we don't have to count, right?
No. I'm just trying to understand theoretically to get.
So is there any connection between the manokama, the strong intention to kill, and the actual killing? Do those also support the final karma which kills? The planning, we were earlier talking about planning.
And what do you mean by final?
Means at the moment of killing.
Without manokama, can there be killing?
No.
No matter it's
no, but the
what we call
previous
final
planning, days of planning, hours of planning, those were also karma. Do they have any connection, any relationship with?
Yeah, they were supporting it.
Right. So in terms of results, and then, but that would also bring different results?
So probably. I think Khunsu Chin's point is, so it's one karma that brings the result,
right.
But you can't have one karma without all the other supporting conditions. And when she said that's why we're all different, because it's not just the result of one karma, but all those supporting factors that influence that karma and the results it brings.
So now what I'm trying to get at is that if killing without planning, the result of that may not be as strong as killing with lots of planning.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because less moments.
Mm-hmm.
Less strong acoustic.
Do you know how many moments for a karma? See?
But
for each one? And for this one or that one? How many?
Many, I guess.
More or less?
More.
So that's why the result of karma sometimes is less and sometimes is long.
And that's why they say in the text things like, you know, it's a small insect as compared to a big animal or a human, because it takes a lot more planning and work and akusala.
But I thought it was to do with intensity as well. Even
many
short.
Conditions.
Many conditions.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's not. We should think also in terms of, not only in terms of one moment, but, you know, like in this case, there's so many supporting karmas. And, it's helpful to think in terms of other conventional like dana, for example, that it's not just one moment.
In what conditions animals birth?
Wrong deed.
Not wrong deeds.
And wrong deeds and wrong speech.
Yeah. But why animals are so quite different in shape and form? See?
Yeah, why is that?
See? Because of what we call karma. Mm. Even it's the a killing. See? Why it becomes the ant, elephant, bird, butterfly. See? Same karma, killing.
I think I told this interesting thing that some scientists, I read it about a year ago, studied some ant colonies. And they found, you know, how we think of ants, the worker ants always just do the work. But they found a couple of percent, like maybe 2 out of 100 of those worker ants are actually lazy ones. And they let the other worker ants do the bulk of the work, and there's always a few lazy ones here and there. Really, you know, it just shows you how...
No, but that's accumulations.
But how could they identify which ants? Well, some people mark them. Scientists were able to mark them. Brilliant research and figure out. I mean, I found that fascinating to show accumulations in that way.
For the animals, it's more their shape and form. You know, of course, you know, that's Panyatis, but okay. It's more their shape and form, and their camouflage or not lack of camouflage or whatever they have that depends whether they're going to survive in the animal world or not survive in the animal world or kill or be killed or whatever. And whereas with us, it has nothing to do with shape and form unless we're crippled and we can't get away from
what
we
about
can't
beautiful
run away.
Or not beautiful and so on, tall or not tall.
Mm-hmm. But tall or not tall, or beautiful or not beautiful is not going to determine so much our survival as it would, let's say, for an animal.
Why? If you're beautiful, you might marry a rich man or something, right? It's just karma, part of karma to be born beautiful.
Not necessarily. There's some ugly people
here. Yeah, but beautiful is one result, and then... You know, we know that other karmas produce other results.
Many, but to be born beautiful or ugly, tall or short or whatever, these are all...
But why not stop at that, born beautiful, and that's gone, just the result of that karma? Why, not necessarily because some are born beautiful and very poor, end up as prostitutes.
That's because different karma. Different
right,
karma.
So it's always some other karma. Mm-hmm. In that case, what led them to... go down, and in that case, to success, it also can be different karma as well. Why want to tie beauty with what follows? In the case of you're trying to say that someone beautiful marries a rich person.
Well, in the sutta, someone asked the Buddha, why are some people ugly? Why are some people beautiful? Why are some people rich? Why are some people poor? And the Buddha says, all of these distinctions come about through karma. I'm just saying, this is a very important thing to understand. How many people are rich, beautiful, intelligent, No one's everything perfect, right? Everyone has ups and downs.
It's too complicated. Okay, you've got this very rich family like the Kennedy family, and yet look at the dying and the killing that went on in that family. You know, two of the brothers were killed, another one just died, and so forth. You know, there's a lot of you know, it's too complicated to say. Well, somebody born beautiful is going to have better karma than somebody who's born a bit ugly.
But being beautiful is in itself the result of good karma, and we can see that it has. We can see why that is a good thing. Doesn't mean that you're born beautiful, everything's happy in every way. I'm not saying that, of course not. Usually you might be beautiful but stupid, but being stupid is a result of another type of karma. If you're beautiful, you're rich, you're intelligent, wise, study Dharma, you're one in a billion, right? everyone has some results that are
like
good, not so good.
Yeah.
Like Buddha.
Just, yeah,
right.
They're about to say, just like Buddha.
Can I just clarify one point when we were talking about the supporting conditions having the effect on why we're all different here? So the karma brings the result. So the supporting conditions not only determine when or where or whether the karma will bring a result, but actually affect the nature of the karma so that the results are different, or affect the results of the karma. I would think affect the kind of karma that will bring the results. Is that correct?
Human being respond, but what? Kusala karma.
Kusala karma.
And the person was blind. By kusala karma.
Or akusala karma.
See.
Yes.
The supporting condition was
yes.
Akusala, but the kusala was the patisandhi chikin.
Yes.
Right?
So then what
it's
is
no supporting is another one. Upapilita.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So it's the kusala karma that is brings the result of rebirth, but the supporting conditions work with it and bring
so
their own
are
results
from birth.
Yeah. So in that sense, the supporting conditions do bring a result when they support the karma which
because
brings
they
its result.
Because they cannot perform the function of rebirth,
but
so they
on their own
as a function.
Actually, could you just explain that slightly more? That is very hard to understand. Now, just the example you gave. Someone's been born human because of kusala karma, but they've been born, they're blind, weren't blind from conception. What makes them blind?
Akusala karma.
Not, I thought it was maybe kusala karma, but kusala karma of a low level, that, so they got, or something. Because there's only one karma that can make you born, right?
Because it's low, so the akusala karma can condition that.
Ah, because the strength of the kusala karma wasn't so high, so that
The effect of the supporting conditions affected the result of that kusala karma when it brought its result.
Thank you. I remember one example. There was a guy who was going to be born as a deva, and he was born as a deva, but a very low one, because just before he died, he had strong attachment to a woman, beautiful woman, and because of that, instead of being born in a higher deva world, he was born in a fairly low, base deva world, which is interesting. Anyway, this karma stuff's really complicated, isn't it?
So what's the result of killing a human being, Ajahn? I mean, if someone kills a human being, but they do a lot of good.
Born in hell,
yeah.
Or animal realm,
okay.
And beta.
Right. Yeah. That's if that result comes up.
Right.
I mean, at the time of death, it might be one of the good deeds that come up, right, Ajahn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if someone actually killed someone, but they did a lot of very good...
Different...
Good... Well, deeds through
like
their
Asoka,
whole life.
Like King Asoka.
Hmm?
We're talking about one karma to this man.
No, I know that.
Look at King Asoka, right?
Yeah.
He was reborn in the Tathagatasa Deva realm, I think.
Right.
And how many people did he kill before he became Buddhist?
Right.
He ordered his armies to go out and
go
to war, but then he changed.
Yeah. So it doesn't mean just because you kill someone that you necessarily will go to hell. Or to the animal realm.
It's not you. The thing is, we're talking about one karma.
Yeah, I know that. I know you're talking about one karma. But
you're saying inevitably that karma will come to the give
yeah,
result.
It could,
next, like,
could
no.
have a result somewhere down the line.
Well, one of your good deeds might give rebirth, and you might be born as a human. But because of that killing you did,
right.
You might. Something might happen, you know, you might be in an accident in this life or something too,
right?
Is that right, Ajahn? Is that more or less right? Yes.
So it's not good to kill.
Is it only not good to kill because of karmic result, or is it not good to kill?
No, it's just not good to kill.
Okay.
It has to be a reason why it's not good.
Well, it can end up, you could end up being in a hell realm or animal realm.
And that's a very asking, is it just that or some other reason?
No, you it's not good to kill because that could be the result. It may be the result.
If it's not, then it's good.
I don't think killing any human being is valuable in any way. I think even soldiers who go to war and they kill people, I don't think that that's particularly wholesome.
Well, it's not wholesome. That's the way of the world.
Wholesome.
It's not wholesome.
What do you mean? It's
not wholesome. It's not wholesome.
So it's unwholesome.
Yes.
Understand.
What I meant was, it's not wholesome.
Iron.
To kill any human being.
So you're saying that wholesome is good and wholesome is bad.
Only human.
What about mosquitoes?
I think, killing any human, any animals would be unwholesome. But human beings, particularly, is rather unwholesome.
It's interesting to me to live in Thailand, and I see people go to the Wats all the time, right? You know, there's so much tambun done, but just down the road from the Wat, the same guy who might have gone to the Wat the day before will be fishing or something, and they're
not going to that.
Maybe, or maybe after. I mean, you know, they'll be Buddhist 100%.
Yeah.
More devout than me, probably. But they'll see no harm in swatting an insect or fishing or so on. This is...
It's the same in every religion.
It's the same. But the Thai people are much more devout than Christians in New Zealand, and yet they'll still do things like that, right?
Yeah, but we can't make these generalizations because it's the same in every religion. You have there's the Christian who goes to church on Sunday, and then he does something akusala on Monday. You know, I mean...
I don't think that the Thais are particularly pro-Buddhism in the sense of they study it. They just go to the temple and they why and they do their thing, and then they go off and they kill animals.
Well, this is why Khunsu Jinzo was saying that they can't actually be the following of the precepts unless understanding develops for so long. Okay, like when one goes to the temple, but if there isn't any real understanding of the value of sila, then it won't be maintained.
Right.
Even if it's maintained for this life, what about next life?
Right.
The thing is, there's so much akusala, and if you have just a tendency for sila, then akusala is going to, have its way. And if you don't develop the understanding at the same time, then you're bound to have less and less sila.
This all proves what Sarah just said and what John always says. It all depends on understanding. And if they don't have understanding, sure, they go to the temple and it's just a custom, or they go to whatever, they why the Rama statue, or they do this and that, the other thing. Or what,
an elephant outside the World Trade Center, and they all go and why that.
I mean, that's...
It may not be wrong view, though.
No,
it might not be
a sacred
wrong
elephant.
View, but...
Yeah, I just figured that out myself.
Why animal is not wrong view?
Respect
animal?
Bodhisattva or something?
No. Statue.
Just a statue. I don't know. Yeah. Jonathan tries to see the good in people.
No, I wasn't saying it. I was saying it in the light of our discussion, beginning about wrong view. Holding an idea is not necessarily wrong view. So it depends on the extent.
Why animal? Not necessary to be wrong view.
Well, if a kid is told, just following the parents, or someone is just doing the same as everyone else or something, they may not actually hold the view. So I'm just going back to our earlier discussion about wrong view, and that not all will. Not, you can't tell from the actual physical act whether wrong view is involved or not.
But usually it would be, why do they do it? They think it's some sort of, they're going to get some sort of good result, right?
Let's say you passed some Ganesh, but it reminded you of the Deva realm.
No.
Why not?
Is he a Deva?
No, but it reminds Deva, because it can be reminded, because in Hindus they talk about Devas.
Yeah.
So the word Deva comes up in the mind,
but
and you think about Devas. And then you know that's the result of Kusa Kama to be.
No, Ganesh.
The only reason
no.
in the Deva world.
The only
no.
reason they
no,
do not think
no,
no Ganesh.
No Ganesh. No Ganesh. No Ganesh. I'm just saying it reminds you because of association of the word Deva. Because in Hinduism they call him a Deva, and then you think in terms of Devas.
Ganesh is not Deva.
He's not. He's just he's just a figure of imagination. But for someone like me who knows that the Hindus call him a Deva, I can be reminded about the Buddhist version of
Ganesh?
Deva. No, I don't know why. I'm saying just pass, and you can think. Right? You can be reminded. So,
right, like we were saying the other day, anything can be a condition for understanding of seeing invisible objects.
Yeah, right.
Well, Nick, but you've got to be careful. Next thing you'll be wearing Jatukam.
The ties will why anything if they think it's going to bring them good luck.
Exactly. That's why.
And I think they really don't know the characteristic of Kusa, because if they really think that Tamantitsamo Kusa denote, or it's just a belief.
They just want something in return.
Yeah.
How about actual devas?
Can you give
them images? Say like a silicular shrine?
What?
In silicular shrine, that's one place that I know of, there are actual devas. I don't know if they're actual or not, but people go and watch them. What about these kind of devas?
Just hoping for good luck.
You mean like they've got a statue of Saka or something? I don't know.
They have four, I don't remember the names, but they
four
have famous four
famous
devas. That
in Buddhism?
Yes, they're actually Buddhist devas. So
okay.
What about this kind of why? Or
okay.
This kind of respect?
What I was talking earlier about, when I was talking about Deva, I wasn't thinking in terms of the Deva really knowing the thing. I think what you're saying is that's some place you pass and you do, and the Deva being there to know, right? That I think is wrong, because you don't know.
But how do they know?
You're just believing that
devices.
It is true.
How do they know they became believers?
What about thinking of Deva without seeing anything at all?
Well, it can happen.
Yeah, better than this Ganesh or that.
But that's the same then as a Buddha Rupa, right? Same.
Remind
comparison.
About not just Deva, but
about Buddha.
But
Buddha
is
Rupa.
It wrong to respect? It's an idea, just thinking. But is it not okay to respect Devas?
Yes.
But why that tree? Why not somewhere else?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because they don't know they don't know that those became Devas.
Yeah.
So, but you can respect Davis.
Anywhere, anytime.
Ivan, you sure there's no mana there when you make these comments about ties?
No, I'm just saying that the ties tend to go to temples, and
they're not Thai.
I know there's Christians and there's Islamic people who pray to God, and they have a concept of God. So, I mean, they're the same way. I mean, I'm not saying that it's just the ties alone, but the ties do go to the temple, and they do their little prayers, and they go to the shrines, and they hope to have good luck from why in the shrine. and I've seen them put flowers there. And they hope,
whatever religion they are.
They hope to do it.
I'm just saying
the Thais themselves don't study Dhamma. That's all.
We have a lot of expectation for Thai people because Thailand is the centre of Buddhism.
You've got Thai people who study the Dhamma.
No, but these people do. And the group that comes...
I'm sure they would agree that they are unusual.
And the group that comes to listen to Ajahn and turn on the radio and listen to Ajahn, they're
exceptions.
Yeah, they're the exceptions. But
and he's not saying just...
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that the average Thai doesn't study.
You can say average Buddhist.
It's a little bit sad when you see Buddhists going past the statue of Ganesh and they show more respect for that statue than they do when they're going past the Wat.
No, I used to feel that way. Yeah. I mean, I used to see why Thais change to Hindus so easily. The thing is that they were never followers of Buddha anyway. The way they now worship Ganesh, that's the way they worship the Buddha. That's just the same.
So
Animism is still very strong.
Safe on all sides.
I'm not putting the Thais down, okay? I'm just saying that they do not study the Dhamma. That's
anyway.
I'd like to get back to what we were discussing about the results of karma. So as we were saying that, for example, someone may be born human but may be born deaf. So being born human is the result of good karma, and being born deaf is a result of akusala karma supporting that kusala karma. So they may be born with two roots or one root.
But can we clarify that, Sarah? Is that totally true, Ajahn? What if someone, they give something, but they give it and there's no panya when they're giving, they are then born, they would be, if that karma gives result, they would be born twaihitukka, right? So there's no necessarily a kusala karma supporting that twaihitukka, it just means that the original kusala karma wasn't of a sufficient level to be tihituka.
Very rich too.
Yeah, they could be very rich, but dwahituka, that doesn't mean there was a kusala karma supporting that.
But I think that what Khun Suu Kyin said before was that either being born was a result of kusala karma, but there have to be other kinds of
supporting
karma, and in this case, a kusala supporting karma, which would result in that person being born deaf.
Well, let's clarify that again then. What if someone was born, say, with no roots, they still had to do the kusala karma? What?
Very, very low.
Very low kusala karma, but not necessarily always a kusala karma as well, supporting that single patisandhicitta.
Because it's so low that the other akusala karma can condition the
blindness
deafness.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. That's good clarification. Thank you, Sarah.
Right. So then we get on to something like the being born deaf as why one person, say one twin is born, both born as humans, but one is born deaf and one isn't. And then we were talking about factors such as being born beautiful or rich or something. We read about these things in the suttas about being born beautiful or rich as a result of kusala karma. But in terms of paramattha dharmas, we know that vipaka is just moments of seeing and hearing, and we can't, this is like we discussed in
Gandhi. But vipaka is not the only karma. Vipaka is one result of karma. Karma also gives other results, not only vipaka, right?
Vipaka and the rupas conditioned by karma.
Yeah.
What are the results besides
rupas? Oh, rupas, for example.
So we know that in terms of Paramattha Dharma, the result of karma, it's the vipaka chittas, the moments of seeing and hearing, and there are rupas all through life that are conditioned by karma. But for example, someone born rich or someone born poor, the moments of, one can't say that the moments of seeing and hearing are any necessarily of themselves any more kusala vipaka in the case of the rich one than the poor one. But I think that what we discussed before is that by referring to someone born rich or someone born beautiful or something like this, or born one caste and not another, what it actually is like a kind of shorthand for the kind of feeling that is experienced. So when it refers to someone born rich, for example, actually it's referring to someone who has a lot of kusala vipaka and experiences a lot of pleasant feeling during life, pleasant bodily feeling, pleasant moments, sees pleasant objects, and we just use a shorthand and say this is the rich person, but actually we can't just say, oh, the rich person has more kusala vipaka.
Is this correct?
It depends on seeing, hearing, smelling,
and hearing. That's all we can say in the ultimate sense. It just depends on the moments of the vipaka chitta, seeing, hearing, smelling only. So we can't actually say that someone born beautiful or someone born rich actually has more kusala vipaka.
Let's differentiate it by doorways. There's a nice story about a king, and he went somewhere, he went out of the city somewhere, and he saw, he happened to touch against a girl. Now that touch of her skin was exceptional. She had maybe the most smoothest skin he'd ever felt in his life, something that thrilled his whole body. But when he looked at her, she was very ugly, exceedingly ugly, like a goblin, it says. But the touch was like nothing, almost superhuman touch, the smoothness of her skin. He thought, well, I want this girl, but if I take her back to my city and people see how ugly she was, the ministers, the generals and so on will think I'm stupid and crazy and they will overthrow me. So what he did, he brought her back, but he put her in a special little cage with a cover around her so no one could see her face. And he got all the ministers and generals and their wives, they just touched her hand. You know the story, Roger? Anyway. They just touched her hand, and everyone, they're all thrilled by her, the beauty of her skin, which was conditioned by a great kusala that she'd done in a past life. The ugliness was conditioned by another kusala. Anyway, after that, everyone understood, and so when they finally saw her, they didn't think the king was crazy or stupid, and they could accept having this ugly wife.
Yeah, because they experienced the...
The actual, yeah. But it's not... it shows that even rupas, it's not just vipaka, even rupas in the body are conditioned also partly by karma, some of them. So it's interesting to see by doorway too, in that way. Yeah. So karma conditions a lot, not just vipaka. So we have to understand that as well.
But, she's got nice skin. But the hands that touch
that's
her.
That's vipaka, that's all vipaka.
So she's not experienced.
But the vipaka, when you experience that softness, that exceptional softness,
it's your good vipaka to experience the softness.
Yeah. Conditioned by that rupa. If her skin was like sandpaper, she wouldn't have got married to the king.
Let me add this a little bit more to Konsuchin. Let's build this up a little bit. So we know that the karma conditions vipaka and rupas, as Robert has said. So when we read about someone being rich as a result of kusala karma, so actually the being rich is actually just referring to moments of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. It's not, is it referring to any rupas as well? No, just to the moments of the vipaka chitta.
For we talk about vipaka only.
Only about vipaka, yes. So when it's referring to someone being rich as a result of karma, it's just referring to the moments of vipaka. When it's referring to someone being beautiful, is it just referring to the moments of Vipaka or also to the rupas as well?
Rupas.
Both. Yes, result.
So if we read a result, yeah. If we read a sutta which is referring to the good results of karma, someone being rich, beautiful, so it just depends on each one, whether it's just the moments of Vipaka or the Vipaka and the rupas which are being referred to.
Mm. Well, the beautiful is rupa.
It's not rupa only.
Not Vipaka. I think. Is that right, Ajahn? Yeah. Yeah. Whereas the richness would be Vipaka.
Only Vipaka.
At the moment of seeing, hearing.
I mean, they talk in, I think I've seen it written somewhere about karma, karma for an angry person, but kind. You know, he'll be born ugly, but rich, you know.
Well, but generous, you mean? Ugly, but, I mean, rich. Angry, but generous.
Generous. Yeah,
yeah, not kind, yeah.
But what about when it's like the text that is so controversial at the moment on DSG, referring to the one born in dark and headed for dark and born in dark, headed for light and so on, and the example given for the one born in dark, headed for dark is the example of the untouchables.
Bolin.
And he's disfigured and lowly birth and so on or something.
Yes.
For example.
It's only an example. So this would be just an example of akusala vipaka only, nothing to do with the rupas in that case then.
Well, the rupas...
Maybe.
I mean, the fact that you're born in that particular form is rupa, isn't it?
Well, in the text there's the eight worldly conditions. So are they generally result of karma?
So
when it's experience.
When it's experience.
So like praise and blame is actually just referring to moments of hearing yes. pleasant or unpleasant sounds only. So when it comes down to it, they're also just referring to moments of Vipaka and also rupa's condition. Objects of Vipaka.
I think Ajahn Rimon said that it's not just the Vipaka but also the at that moment the thinking about it. For example, what is praise? Then how is it different from blame by a beautiful voice? So it's also the Vipaka plus the thinking about it.
So I have to understand moment which is Vipaka and moment which is thinking.
Mm.
Because
you mean,
like if the Buddha said to the monk, "You stupid monk," that's actually good Vipaka to hear that from the Buddha.
It's just hearing.
Yeah.
Not the word.
And the Buddha wouldn't have said something.
The sound, the voice, not the word.
But he said, "Sati, you are a foolish. You foolish man."
Yes, but at the moment of hearing, it's just sound. So
but it's
Vipaka,
right?
Only the sound, only the hearing
is
sound.
Hearing
okay, right. Yeah. It's kusala vipaka. Yeah, but it's kusala vipaka to hear the Buddha say, "You foolish man." Even.
Are
there vipaka just through the mind or process? No.
No, it's only the vipaka is just one moment.
But when you say, oh, to hear the Buddha saying that, but actually hearing doesn't hear the Buddha saying that, hearing just hears sound, that's all.
So sound,
that's all.
What Robert is saying, sound does not tell anything about whether it's blame or praise.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's just
sound.
Just hearing of sound.
So how do we differentiate blame, praise and blame?
It's the same as Kinesha's generosity one, I think. Many jitters.
Okay, so let's just go through the eight worldly conditions in terms of paramatta dharmas. So the hearing of praise and blame is just a moment. So in terms of praise, it's just a moment of hearing pleasant sound, and then
it may not be.
It may not be
depending on whose sound.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's just a moment of hearing sound, and then thinking about it. So actually it's referring to the hearing of the sound and the thinking about it, and the same with blame. So that's why an arahat is not susceptible to the worldly conditions at all. And gain and loss, so again it may be the seeing or through the body sense, experiencing through six doorways, experiencing an object and then the thinking about it. Because people often talk about, oh, hearing unpleasant words, but actually there isn't any hearing of unpleasant words, it's only ever hearing of sounds.
Including thinking.
Why? Since accumulations come in, because it involves thinking, why would that be called or be part of what's described as a worldly condition?
It conditions pleasant or sorrow.
What I just in my mind was thinking just now, that what would be blamed, for example, will also have to do with unpleasant feelings, which I thought would mean that dosa has arisen with the hearing of blame.
But the Buddha was blamed, but he had no dosa.
Yeah, but he was not affected. The eight worldly conditions didn't apply to him.
So it's actually the thinking that induces the pleasure or the sorrow.
Well, so we are assuming the thinking must be either kusala or akusala.
Must be, yes.
Right. So in the case of unpleasantness, it has to be dosa. For us. So we are saying that dosa is part of what, in this case, in this particular situation, is described as the eight worldly conditions?
Four.
Worldly.
Not eight.
For worldly.
Good and bad.
Good and bad.
For bad, for good.
So like you said, in the case of praise, it may actually be an unpleasant sound that's heard, so it's actually got nothing at all to do with the moment of vipaka in that sense.
It's just also unpleasant meaning too afterwards, but it doesn't affect those who do not have kilesa.
Right.
But the unpleasant meaning of the word is just by thinking, so it's actually just the
understanding that, but no effect at all.
Yeah, so it's just the thinking which leads to the pleasure or sorrow.
You just need a camel
now. Sorry.
Like Buddha heard the sound and understood the meaning, but it didn't affect him at all. Like Chinchamanavika and Suntari blamed him.
Yeah. I mean, I can understand that given that we are in samsara, with still the kilesas, there's bound to be moments of vipaka followed by whatever chittas. And so when it's in the case of blame, there will be these reactions with dosa, and that is what is meant by one of the worldly conditions, being born and having to have these dhammas come up. So is that the meaning of worldly condition?
Worldly condition is the for good and for bad, but it depends on whether it affects who or it doesn't affect.
So when it's not does not affect, it is not called a worldly condition. It's still
conditions of the world.
Praise is praise.
Blame is blame.
But in terms of Paramattha Dhammas, we know that it's just sound.
But that sound bears what kind of meaning?
Only when thought about, though.
No, it still has it bears the meaning. If the Buddha, speaks, it still bears that meaning whether you understand it or not.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't just say it's divorced of the sound is divorced of meaning. Right. That's not true.
So blame is blame regardless of the person.
Whether a person thinks about it or not, it's still blame.
We all hear the same sounds, but it depends how we think about them.
So it's still a concept.
It's paramattha dhamma. The sound is paramattha dhamma, but it bears a meaning. It's too extreme to try and divorce sound from meaning completely, because sound is conditioned by its vachi vinyati.
The meaning is kusla or akusla?
Meaning?
When blaming the Buddha, for example.
The meaning is kusla or akusla?
Either way, I mean, why
because
would...
Because it's thinking.
It's thinking.
Sorry, can you explain that?
Because when one heard the word blame, we heard the sound and we understood the meaning.
Yes.
So it depends on citta, which thinks about it.
Yeah.
Just know that it means blame, even that, what kind of citta is there?
Can be kusala, kusala, citta, than those it's blame.
Before being hurt or not.
Same with visible objects or any.
So we can say that these eight worldly conditions are there. Now, whether one person experiences or not, what is actually experienced is just sound.
It's the experiencing, it's not the it worldly.
Okay, there's no knowing that it's a worldly condition anyway. But we can know once it's experienced that it is either praise or blame. Mm-hmm. And
but all that is actually heard are sounds.
But that sound comes in meaning.
And the citta, which thinks about the meaning, is wholesome or unwholesome?
Yeah, after.
Before one is hurt by that meaning or not.
The combination of the sounds that are heard.
So you were just saying that it can't be considered one of the worldly conditions if it's not experienced. So we still come to that question. What is experienced then? When again, it's vipaka.
At moment of hearing is vipaka. At moment of thinking about the meaning is not vipaka.
It's not vipaka, but it is part of what constitutes.
Not yet. Hearing and meaning.
Hearing and meaning.
The meaning.
Understanding the meaning.
Yeah, you cannot change the meaning of the sound.
But even if you don't understand the meaning. If there's blame, conditioned by...
Yeah, understand the meaning that it's...
Don't understand the meaning, whether it's irrelevant. If someone blames you...
It's in a foreign language, it's still...
It's still blame, but there may not be...
I don't understand.
Say you're walking down the street and someone calls you in Russian. You ugly Indian, but they're talking in Russian, okay?
Right, but I
would... But you didn't understand.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be experiencing blame then.
You would, but you wouldn't have any dosa towards it.
No
blame because no understanding.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No blame.
Only those who know the meaning.
Otherwise,
the Russian know. The Russian knows.
The Russian knows he's blaming, but you're not blamed.
There's no akusala vipaka coming? There must be akusala vipaka.
Akusala is moment of hearing,
right.
But the meaning in Russian.
Yes.
Who knows and who does not know.
But I would
for
thought,
the for the person who does not know.
So it's only
how that person knows that it's the sound is ugly or sweet.
Yeah. But it's akusala vipaka but not blame.
He might know that he's being blamed. He doesn't understand.
Hypothetically he just thinks, oh, this guy's been kind to me, this guy loves me, or this guy thinks he's saying, oh, you're handsome Indian or something, right? You misunderstand the meaning. But nevertheless, it's akusala vipaka because of the...
Just the sound.
Just the sound.
At the moment of not understanding the meaning, what citta is there, see? before knowing or being hurt by that meaning. Only the understanding the meaning of the sound is kusla or akusla.
Depends.
Mm-hmm.
The kusla
or
akusla.
Yeah, it gets more complex. I mean,
it's still
a
kusla.
If I hear, I don't understand.
Like my hearing. Yeah, of course.
When it's bad voice.
Yeah, it might
and
be very
voice.
Sweet.
I mean, the Russian guy, when he explains...
Okay, I'll give it more extreme.
I
might
have
Ajahn?
A very sweet... Yeah.
Sukhinda's walking past. There's two Russians.
Okay, let us say the same word. See, vipaka is kusla or akusla.
Right. Result of that kusla or akusla.
By different voices.
Okay, let me give this example. Sukhinda's walking past two Russians. One Russian says in a very sweet voice to his friend in the mafia, I don't like the look of that Indian guy there with the turban. Mm-hmm. Can you go and shoot him for
Vipaka.
Can you go and shoot him for me? Yeah. So Vachivinyaki, he's ordering his lower mafia.
What about the Vipaka?
And I would say
sweet voice.
Sukhinda hears that sweet voice telling his
Even he's ordering to kill.
I still have a problem with this because
the vipaka arises before kusla and akusla.
But it's conditioned by that sound is conditioned by akusla chitta. But you're saying that akusla chitta.
But the voice is not conditioned by akusla chitta. It's conditioned by kamma.
But akusala conditions bachi
vinyati, the meaning of it. But you can you change your voice?
Oh, you're saying he has this naturally. He has this sweet voice
by
kamma.
Yeah.
So always, whatever he says, this guy even
the sound only.
The sound only
okay.
is
it's
always
pleasant, no matter the
that's
words.
Interesting. See, that's hard for me to grasp.
Because
that
I read an article
because
about a lot of
arrest before Kusla and Akusla.
Mm-hmm.
I read about an article about a lot of the terrorists from Afghanistan who had beautiful, gentle,
well,
strong voices.
Well, Osama Bin Laden is a good example.
Yeah,
I like his voice.
Very so.
Nice voice.
Hearing the voice, Kusla, they're bound to them.
Okay.
So it's so interesting.
Music. Even we don't understand the word, but the sound is so good.
Yeah.
And someone else may be speaking about Dharma, but it may be actually akusla vipaka at the moment of hearing the sound, even
because
if it's
a horrible
Dharma,
voice.
Because it's a horrible voice. Yeah. Because it's too loud or something.
So if someone is conditioned to always have a bad voice, even they were the best Buddhist teacher, an arahant, there would always be akusala karma to hear them.
The voice only, but the meaning is good.
It's still
hard to grasp for me.
It's kusala vipaka for that person to meet the teacher and hear the Dhamma.
No, the hearing is always akusala.
Hearing itself.
Yeah.
But in that case, the hearing is always akusala.
Between the moment of
hearing. Depends on the object, the sound. Whether it's wholesome or unwholesome vipaka.
But hearing the teaching explained helpfully.
But that sound,
kusala
vipaka. But each moment of that sound, if I'm understanding Ajahn correctly, is akusala vipaka because of the coarseness of his voice.
But it's the understanding of the meaning, the thinking about the meaning. So when you talk about meeting someone who explains the thing, moments of thinking about the meeting, then that is...
But it is possible when you think about it, seeing an ugly... I can imagine seeing a very ugly arahant, and that would be akusala vipaka to see the ugly arahant, in a sense, because he's so ugly. So I can understand that, It's complicated, isn't it? That's why it goes so fast.
Like if you're on the bus and the recording is too loud or something, it could be akusala vipaka, a lot of hearing the sound.
And who can tell whether it's akusala vipaka or akusala vipaka?
Different moments. And for different people, because it depends, like what someone may be speaking rather loudly about the Dharma, but depends on each of us. For me, it might be many moments of akusala vipaka to hear the loud sound. For Betty, because if she's not wearing her aid, it may be kusala vipaka. Just because it depends on our past karma, whether it's
what kind of vipaka at those moments.
Well, that's easy to understand.
So
in terms of the eight worldly conditions, what about if I am told later by someone else that someone said something bad about me? Would that be...
That's thinking.
That's just thinking.
Is heard.
Yeah.
That's just
circuitous.